You are listening to episode 28 of the Paper Player Podcast. I am your host, Tony, and we are here with a full crew today. I'm joined with my co-hosts, Jeff, Josh, and JB. Josh, how is EDH World?
Did I play EDH?
You sure did for Thanksgiving.
No, I fell asleep.
Oh, man.
Ate too much turkey.
You're supposed to rep us.
But I talked about that EDH deck last time. No, I did. I fell asleep on Thanksgiving and didn't make it. So I haven't played EDH at all. But I did open a cemetery gatekeeper today.
I need him.
For my Yearlock EDH deck,
nice.
Which I put into it just before this podcast.
Boy.
I'm playing my league with two rares in each pack, and it's great.
Seems pretty easy.
I got two Blood Vial purveyors and like two Abrades, and that deck's just dumb.
Seems pretty good.
And like there's the Hero's Downfall in that deck too. Yeah, that deck just wins. And then I built this blue-green deck with like all the other cards that weren't black or red, and it's kind of bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's my experience with Magic in the last week.
All right. We can just roll right into it after, I guess, we want to just hit the JB's Bazaar right away.
EDH people are dumb. Dumb. I am currently looking for one Volcanic Island.
Bro, didn't I talk to you about this?
But I don't have a duel to trade for it is the problem.
Well, then you're not going to get a Volcanic Island. I can pretty much guarantee that.
If you have old foils, you can do it.
Right.
Yeah. Seventh edition
foil onslaught polluted delta.
Pretty much like what are the foils worth from like anywhere from 1999 to 2005 is like the basically reserve list of foils just because there's so few and far between.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm also looking for
Birds of Paradise.
Do you still have that Scalding Tarn?
Yep.
It's in my
old school. Pick. Yep.
Okay, I'm looking for one of those, and I'm looking for the Marsh Flats as well.
I have a full border foil Marsh Flats.
Ugh, I don't want that.
We got the old border foil Scalding Tarn. I want a Force of Will for it.
No foils.
I got the old one that doesn't have the crappy like glitter on it, the Scalding Tarn.
I thought you wanted that Scalding Tarn.
No, not the foil one.
Yeah, he wants a non-foil.
I don't have a non-foil one.
Because I'm going to be putting it in the five color. I got most of my fetches are old border.
Yeah, we're revamping five color, just by the way.
My non-foil Scalding Tarns are full art, and I have an Expedition one.
Sitting over here flexing on me.
I was going to sell Jeff, but I'm attached to those Scalding Tarns now, so I'm not going to get rid of them.
That's so good. I don't need them anymore.
Let's say you want some Scalding Tarns, I got them. You want some Crystals, I got them.
One thing I always get comments about is Prismatic Vista. I play that in every single like modern deck I play. That's like the first lands I start with. And people with comments on it all the time, like, why are you playing? Like, even you, JB. But like, I've had success with it.
There are plenty of decks that it's good in, but right. The deck you were playing it in was not good in.
I always get the comment, or people expect me to be playing Blood Moon, which I should probably try that out, just playing Blue Moon.
Red, yeah. It's super good.
I guess, yeah.
You can get away with it, especially if you're playing Prismatics and doing that stuff. You can get away with it.
I'm just so, like, I've been doing it for so long, I'm just so used to it. Like, playing, I'm pretty good at figuring out what land I need to play. I'm like good at, I have the sequencing down for what I'm playing.
It also helps when you're not playing, I think we talked about it before, but when you're not playing Counterspell.
Right, I don't play that very often.
You know, double blue is really, really tough if you're playing Prismatics.
I always try it for the one mana Counterspells.
And I was about to say, Murktide, you know, you can wait on Murktide a little bit. You're not slamming it turn two, so you don't always need the double blue, double, like, start with red.
Oh, that's what I played. I went and played FNM, and I was playing Bone Crusher Giant. What's the one mana? I was trying all the one mana counter spells. Oh, what's the one mana one that's like Daze, but it's like a hard counter if you have four creature for spell or creature with power four or greater.
Stubborn Denial.
It's like
Death Shadow used to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but I was playing it with Sprite Dragon and Bone Crusher Giant.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah, that's pretty dope.
What kind of magic have you been playing, Tony?
Zero. None. Zero. I've been playing Arena, but I mean, that doesn't really count. At this point, Arena, I just do it to do my dailies and then call it a day. I don't know. Arena is really boring to me. Jeff, what's your bad card of the week?
Ed card of the week this week is Yorion and Modern. So
you didn't even have to say Modern. You can just say Yorion.
I kind of understand it more in Legacy than I do in Modern. You have more cards, bigger pool to make that deck more efficient and better. But just, I noticed at the tournament, like, yeah, Yorion hoses me because I was playing Mill. So, like, that sucked. But they're all playing the Elemental decks with, like, 20 extra cards. And I feel like that just slows down the deck. And they're still playing, like, the Cascade plan. And to me, that just seems like, yeah, like counterintuitive. You're adding more cards, meaning you have less chance to draw those Cascade spells, and now you have to run more Cascade spells, and they're different colors. I don't know. It just doesn't seem good to me.
Here's my thoughts on Yorion, is that online, where you get ideal distribution and you don't have to shuffle your deck, Yorion's not that bad. But I tried Yorion once. Like, I played it in paper one time, and I was like, never again. You can't shuffle that deck. You can't.
Dude, you play EDH all the time, and that's 19 more cards.
Yeah, but I'm not fetching every turn in EDH.
That's true.
What are you talking about? That's, you look at your deck all the time in EDH. That's why we're trying to play this five-color format where, like, you don't have to look.
Yes, there are CEDH. I don't play CEDH like that. I play more kitchen table EDH than I play competitive EDH, where, like, I'm not fetching every turn, right? I'm playing Persistent Petitioners, which has no fetch lands in it.
Yeah.
Or I'm playing Mono Green Finfect, where, you know, I'm playing 1/1 Death Touch Scorpions every turn.
But I guess that's my problem, is I like to be competitive, so when I play EDH, I gotta play all the good cards, but I don't want to have to constantly be digging through my deck.
Yeah, and then at that, like, at 80 cards, and, like, you're shuffling every turn and all that with your fetches and all that, you're not getting your ideal distribution because you're pressed for time. It's hard to shuffle an 80-card deck, which is obviously double-sleeved if you're playing Legacy, or Modern, at least double-sleeved, right? You've got a big, it's like an EDH deck, and it's not easy, and it's not fun for anyone. It's not fun for you or your opponent.
My hands are so small, I could never shuffle that.
Tis, guys. I've never had a problem shuffling anything. I'm gonna be able to shuffle with one hand our 250 card.
Your little stubby hands. I don't even believe that.
It'll be a mess. You know the classic shuffle, or like little kid shuffle, like you do with the deck cards you put on the table and just scrambling them all
on the table,
and then you just crappily put it back together.
Like, oh my god, do that in a tournament once at an NRG and see like what happens.
This is effectively shuffling. It's the same.
Like non-sleeve too.
Washed the cards.
It's not even like a sleeve. It's like someone like cut, like put it in a Ziploc and then cut it.
Yorion's a bad card in Modern, but not Legacy, I guess. I mean, it's a weird card.
In both, dude, just don't play it. Online, play it. It's fine online and like have your fun online with it. But like on paper, it's atrocious.
Yeah, it is. It's not a fun experience. So we got a plethora of topics today, but before we get into that, I want to ask you guys a question. And that question is, which card do you think in all of Magic the Gathering's history has been cast the most times aside from infinite combos, such as like Eternal Scourge, you know, things that infinitely bounce like Alurn and Shrieking Drake, stuff like that. Just
think about that. Or like Storm.
So aside from like those infinite, like I cast this infinite times, things that have like legitimately been cast, like, I don't know how else to put it. Just aside from the infinite combos that would, you know, obscure. So out of every kitchen table, worldwide, tournament, you name it, what card do you think has been cast the absolute most?
Gotta be Birds.
Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt.
It's gotta be Lightning Bolt.
I guess Lightning Bolt is more simple.
And Birds is very close.
Yeah.
And like, Lightning Bolt is played in more decks than Birds is played in, I feel. Well, I guess EDH.
But when you think of kitchen table Magic, people are just like, oh, 3 damage for 1? Oh, right. This is great.
Right.
You know, it's very simple. The card is, like, straightforward. It does one thing, and while Birds is there, you still have to think, like, Birds has to work with something else, right?
Manowar Elves could be up there with that, too.
Yeah, it's
with
pretty Birds. Close.
Manowar Elves might actually be higher than Birds Paradise.
Everybody builds an elf deck first.
Right.
True. And Land of War Elves has been reprinted way more than Birds has been.
Right.
That's a lie, Tony. Your first deck you built was a zombie deck.
Lightning Bolt might even actually be higher than Lightning Bolt. Maybe not anymore.
I don't know.
Not since like competitive Magic got like
referred to in paper, online Magic, but yeah, just in paper.
But like now, like Magic is so like solved the day anything comes out. Right now, everyone's playing optimized lists. So like,
yeah.
Nowadays, like Lightning Bolt for sure. But like, there may have been a point in time where it was Land of War Elves.
I definitely think it's Lightning Bolt.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So the only thing I have with both Lightning Bolt and Land of War Elves both have like 4x.
Yeah.
In competitive decks constantly, and they also, well, Lightning Bolt doesn't really get played in EDH, and if it does, it's a rarity to see, whereas Land of War Elf auto included in most green EDHs, mm-hmm. assuming that you're not just straight up four colors. And with the same is true with Birds of Paradise, but it's, I mean, Birds of Paradise is
just accessibility issue. Yeah. Like,
there's never been a time that Bolt wasn't like played in some competitive format, I feel.
Yeah. Land of War Elf has been good in standard, and then it hasn't seen play in modern in the last, I mean, maybe a little bit, but I mean, how many decks have 4x bolts, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, now, like, and Bolt is more, like, easily, like, bounced around. You can play Bolt in more decks than you can play Land of War Elves.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Like, Birds of Paradise kind of got knocked down from cards like Noble Hierarch and Ignoble Hierarch, which has kind of taken its role in those three color plus decks. So if you're going to be three colors, typically just go right for the Noble Hierarch anyways, or even if you're only two of those three colors, you'd rather just get the Exalt trigger so much better than over the flying. But yeah, Bolt is a 4X.
I'm surprised Ignoble hasn't really seen a ton of play yet.
Played in Jund.
Jund's like waiting.
Does it actually?
Time. Jund is waiting.
Because you're too busy casting like Ragavan
round six, the Jund player that I lost against was playing two.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
granted, that's also round six and we were X2, so yeah. Doesn't mean his deck was optimized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think the answer is Bolt for the time being, but Birds, because of the boom of EDH, I think Birds and Land of War Elf are certainly creeping up. The topics we're going to kind of go over today is both JB and Jeff got to play in a team event, which you guys went, 3-3 in?
Yeah, 3-3 drop.
Yep. And then we're going to talk about the Unfinity spoilers, which is a little bit controversial, but I understand why they're doing it. And the modern ban gauntlet. And if we have time, we'll talk about our end of the year topics, because I think next week is when we're starting that. JB and Jeff, the team event for the NRG, how was it?
I had fun. I mean, I made a couple of mistakes real early. In our first round, I totally screwed up. There was like a play where I should have just went with my gut immediately. And then I leaned over and I second guessed myself. And then I was like, hey, Jeff, what do you think? And Jeff's like, no, I'll go this other way. And I got greedy and basically threw the game that we should have won.
I played him into the counterspell and I would.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I agreed with it. I could have just ignored you and said, nah.
Fair.
Is 3-3 the result of what happens when you send a lands player and a burn player with blue decks?
And didn't Burn take first, or wasn't Burn in like the first
modern spot? Yep. Modern, yeah.
And it's funny because I talked to Antonio the night before and I was like, should I just audible into Burn? Because I had Burn on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, you've had more playtesting with Mill lately. And mm-hmm. I was like, true, but I played Burn for like 800 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But did you have fun playing it?
Round one and two, I did. So after going 1-1, we got into the string of playing the Yorion players, hence why that was my bad card. They were all in those lower brackets, so like I sat down against Yorion in round three, and I actually milled him out game one. Like, I mm-hmm. got him. But game two and three, I couldn't strip the endurance from him fast enough, and he just kept shuffling himself, and then he'd cascade and hit rhinos, and luckily Antonio and JB, both of those rounds, won their matches. And the second Yorion match, JB played against Elves, and they went to game three. And that was the tightest I've seen anyone play. Like, if he didn't use the sequences he did, Elves would have just comboed it off on him. It was a really good match to watch. I really enjoyed it. After that, I got paired against Control. I was super hyped. Raffle stomped him game one. Game two, I got him down to like four cards, but he got me with the Sharknado token and the Manland. And we went to game three, and I kept a hand that was loose that I shouldn't have, and I lost. And I think that's when JB lost the mirror match too.
Yeah, I did lose the mirror match there. I've learned something pretty quick about playing red blue is that I am very bad at sideboarding, and that is something I can't do against the mirror match very well. And so I played the mirror match 3 times that day and lost all 3 of them.
Bro, you just take out all your forces and you bring in all your one mana counters.
It's not even, it's more, I mean, obviously the sideboard more matters, but it's
depending on if you're going first or second, yeah, certain things come out. And I am just, I couldn't figure that out by the time we went to that tournament. So I just got stomped by the mirror when they knew what to do and I didn't.
You really have to like feel your opponent too.
That too. And I would have to assume all the guys that you played against that were on those, the blue red mirrors, you know, they probably were all players that played Delver. And with Delver, the deck was a lot more like, you had to be a lot tighter with your plays because you only had small windows of opportunity. The current blue red deck is literally on rails. Like, it's a baby. It's such, like, from the play patterns, it's such an easy mode to do it just because you no longer just have 4 Delver plus whatever your follow up is. It's you have 4 Ragavans, 4 DRCs. So you don't care if you just throw them away willy nilly because they might not matter because you have so many threats coming after.
A lot of the times, what ends up happening is whoever manages to land the Murktide and protect it is just going to win like instantly because that thing is huge.
Welcome to that deck, dude.
Yeah.
It's like also, how that deck wins against any deck.
Also, every one of them that you played against, I feel like, if I remember correctly, was running like a 2 of Delver.
Yes. They all had Delver and I didn't. And in one of the rounds, it absolutely beat the hell out of me.
I mean, I know your partner, Tony, had one of the most absurd seal decks I've ever seen. Oh my god,
it was gross.
So yeah, when he opened the Olivia and that other a mythic card that could be brought back with the Olivia and live forever because it was a legendary.
Yeah.
It was just, I was like, what is this?
And that card has modes on it too. Like, you can transform it right away into a 3/4 with flying, lifelink, and haste. Yep. And when it attacks, it gets +1/+0 for each one of those abilities.
Well, you have to pump it. It's like,
oh yeah, you pump it and they get +1 for each
two
of
two black
yeah.
and colorless. But still, he had a crazy deck and a bunch of removal. It was just like, what
and
is this?
Round one, plus the mirror, and I had beat, oh, what did we, I don't even remember. I don't remember what I played in Modern. I know I beat him. Like, oh, he was playing regular Elementals. He wasn't playing Urion. And Tony won game one and lost game two to mulling to 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And if he wouldn't have had to mull because of the no lands, I think like we would have been in the winner bracket. I wouldn't have played against Urion, and I think it would have been a way different story.
Yeah. Or if I wouldn't have thrown the, or if I wouldn't have thrown the game, we could have been there too.
I helped you, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about the team tournament. I mean, that's the. How did you guys overall, how'd you feel just like that's when you guys fun. Won together and lose together, how does it feel overall?
I was pumped that like Jeff was talking about the point where I was playing against elves in round three or in game three. Mm-hmm. And it was just him and Antonio standing behind me as we looked at every card that I would draw off the top.
And just discuss what to do. Yeah,
it was pretty fun.
Dude, that's the best feeling. I think that's like the most fun about it all. It's like, we're going to, it's like playing an MTGO draft or whatever with your buddies, like a cube draft. And you're just all like arguing about what should we do and then come to like a concisive decision.
Right. It was insane to me. The elves player had a bunch of like 2-mana elves in his hand and had 1 green and a Gaia's Cradle. So he couldn't do anything because I just kept killing all the creatures every time he'd play one. I'd just go, bop, with a bolt or whatever. Yeah.
And
so he just couldn't generate mana.
And the best part was, is you were bopping him with a 1-1 DCR. It wasn't even turned on.
Uh-huh.
Or DRC. And just bopping him for one every turn. And finally you got it to like turn on. And then it was like over.
Yep. Yeah, it was fun.
Certainly.
I mean, I had fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Losing, I don't know, losing feels a little better being on a team, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's not one person's fault. Like, it's everyone collectively, so it doesn't feel as bad. And you have people to converse about it afterwards. Like, you can talk about the plays, stuff like that.
On top of it, it's like, if you lose, you can turn to your buddy and literally give him influencing help.
Yep.
So it's not over immediately. You don't lose and you're done.
Yeah.
You lose and you go, okay, let's rally and win the other two.
Yeah.
I was definitely always the first person done.
Well, no, it's funny.
Oh, I loved it. It was great. The mill, just watching you mill people and people getting really frustrated about it was so funny to me.
My round one opponent, that elemental guy, when I beat, because I beat him 2-0 in game two, right when I beat him, he was like, you're lucky you had that mill card because I was going to kill you next turn with, he was going to ultimate Renin 6, and I was like, yeah, too bad. Like, I'm looking at my hand of like three more mill spells. Like,
you should have I had all these.
Yep. I was about to say you should have shown him all these.
But like, the salt was real, man.
Yeah, I always play into that when guys are like, if I just have one more turn, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I only have four lands, and so I got really lucky. I drew that last card to beat you. Yeah, just
so over the top.
Yeah. I'm like, oh man, my whole hand sucked. I drew that card off the top and I won. I just played it. Just to like rub salt in the wound.
I'm never salty when I like either lose or win. I just like talking about what my outs were or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It depends on where I'm at in the tournament.
I would have to say our sealed deck was probably the best deck at all three.
Probably. Yes. It was insane. I just saw I was so stacked. I was like, dude, how? I mean, just between the two of you, you guys just had to win one like alternating rounds, you know?
Just yeah, and we just couldn't do it. No, couldn't handle it.
The two Urians, man.
But yeah, so I've decided for the December Legacy that I'm going to switch into that Dark Bant deck because I can't handle playing that mirror. I just can't.
Even if you got like proficient at it and you were like, let's say you got really good with the deck, it's still 50-50. That's what sucks about mirrors. Like, they're still 50-50. And that's what people, I think, fail to realize. They're like, oh, I'm so good at the mirror. It's like, okay, it's 50-50. Like, sure, there's a little bit of skill into it, but in this day and age where how, like, every card is so powerful, it doesn't, like, there's really not a lot of branching tree decisions. You really just have, like, okay, make this play and execute it and make sure that it is protected, and then you'll usually win the game following, such as the Murktide play.
Yeah. I mean, Dark Bant is not, it's not, like, an audible into something I don't like just because it's good or weird or a little bit fringe. Mm-hmm. The deck actually looks like a lot of fun, so I'm excited to play it. Like, Prismari Command looks great.
Yeah, it's got a lot of fun ofs in there. It's got a one of Life in the Loam, so you can out-wasteland other decks.
Yep. I meant Witherbloom Command, not Prismari. Witherbloom.
That's a good one. So real quick, I just want to go over the top eight decks in that team's tournament. In first place came for Modern Burn. And is it Delver was the Legacy. And then in second place, it was Hardened Scales, which is kind of a flash in the past. And Oops All Spells for Legacy. Third and fourth, I guess. So the third place deck is it Murktide? And is it Delver for Legacy? Fourth place is Black White Hammer. And then is it Delver for fourth place? Fifth place had Jund for the modern deck, which is kind of the old one. Death and Taxes for Legacy. Legacy. Sixth place had Temur Footfalls, which is the Cascade deck. Green White Depths for Legacy. Four Color Omnath for the seventh place modern deck. And then Lands for seventh place. And then eighth place had Ponza and Death and Taxes. I mean, right off the bat, you got three out of the four top four decks. It's just, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hey, man, I'm happy that Lands is repping up there. Like the Depths decks. Oh, mm-hmm. I love it. I love that they're really good right now. Yeah. I won't play him because I'm terrible at him because it's a tutor or like a silver bullet deck and I am just bad at those decisions, but I am happy that they are doing well.
Bam. We are going to be going we're going to look into the Unfinity spoilers that just came out. They released kind of well already known cards. We have basics that came through and full art shocklands that just are completely amazing. I think they're better than the Expeditions, the way they look, like the Shocklands mm-hmm. do. The Expeditions were unique, but these things from an art style, just they look so much better.
Yeah, I agree. I just like the styling choice, the like off-world look.
Yeah,
it's just like, Star Wars, man.
It is just Star Wars.
No, dude.
Dude, Sacred Foundry is literally just the Death Star blowing up.
Blood Crypt looks like Blood Moon.
Tundra doesn't look like, maybe Tundra does look like some from Star Wars.
I love Stomping Grounds, just meteors crashing into
Yeah, that does look cool.
Overgrown Tomb is literally like Skywalker's crash shipped on Dagobah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love, the art style is like very, very cool. I hate how the distribution is going to be. You get one Shockland per box.
I mean, that's why they do it right. They need to make their money somehow.
Well, I mean, at this point, do you just buy collector packs of this?
Yeah, but I don't want a foil version. That's the problem.
Well, you can get rid of that foil version for other people. These foil are going to be highly sought after.
Oh yeah,
I think these might.
Right, they're going to be expensive
from like week one. Yeah, exactly. From like week one, I think they're going to be just as high, or if not higher, than Expeditions.
Or what is like I remember like the foil island when the last unset came out was like $60. Yeah.
Yeah. These basics are even going to be expensive.
All right, the foil basics.
Yeah, there's two sets of them. They have one with the mana symbol that has like the infinity sign on it, which those are okay.
Those are bad.
They're definitely like the planes. I like the planes. The bubble world.
Those are the orbitals.
Blue's okay.
Cloud City.
It ain't bad.
But the planets look fancy. I mean, how does it, not every Blood Moon deck just not play this mountain?
Right. Yeah, for real.
Dude, it's literally a Blood Moon.
So with basic lands, we're running into this problem that in the last couple of Innistrad sets, we had like the Dracula ones, the black and white themed ones, and like, oh, these basics are cool, but they kind of were starting to lose their flavor on them, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I was like, okay, I don't really care about the full arts, but these ones impressed me a lot. I was like, geez, these look great.
One of them for draft lands.
Yeah, I really haven't seen a basic land, like full art basic land in a long time. That's really got me like thinking about getting them. I'm still going to stick with the old school ungludes because I just love them that much. But these are great.
So on top of this is the first time they're doing the unset that has constructed playable cards in internal formats. Whereas before, all Silver Border were like legal for Commander for a week, and then they called it a day. But there's a factor that they should have stuck with the Silver Border, but everything's Black Border in this set.
I know why they didn't do the Silver Border. I heard like the responses to why they didn't do the Silver Border.
What was it?
There's full art cards in the set.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What they're doing is they're adding this acorn sticker to the cards that are not legal.
Right. So my acorns are not legal.
My question is, but if you could acorn any card that's already out there, what would you acorn? So think about that, and we'll come back to that.
All right. Jeff, what were you going to say?
Technically, in the last set that was unstable, they did print one constructed legal card because they reprinted that goblin from Future Sight.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done it before with one card, but...
Yeah, they didn't know that's what they... I mean, they probably made that card in a decision to make contraptions and then realized that it wasn't going to be like something that was doable, even though dungeons are essentially just contraptions. They're the same thing.
Yeah.
But either way, it's a mechanic that they decided that we're not going to be able to work with this. But yes, they did do that in the past. But I think from this article here, the reason why they decided to do that is because there's this card called Sword of Dungeons and Dragons that people love so much but are unable to play in anything. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a Black Border version of this card. Just because from a rule standpoint, it doesn't do anything that's too wacky.
It's not egregious, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking
this card too.
I was about to say, I was thinking about it because I was looking through my uncards today purely for that 250 card deck.
Yeah.
And I saw a sword and I read it and I'm like, why would, like, I can see why this would not be Silver Border.
I think they missed an opportunity by not putting it in the Dungeons and Dragons set.
Well, they didn't know they were going to do that, right? That was not, so like the reasons why I was like, well, there was Silver Border for three reasons. One, at the time they didn't care about D20s. Like they were like, we don't want D20s to be rolled in our game. No. It references a non-magic IP. So they were like, we don't want to bring that in. And then the third thing is they made a token that was gold and not an official magic color. So it's a little weird, but that's why they did it. But either way, I wouldn't be surprised if this got like an errata where it's instead of it being like, you could just make it like a gold dragon where it's the gold and on the text it just says this card or this dragon's all colors.
That's what they should, it would be great. It would be perfect flavor wise if in this set they just made one called Sword of Dungeons and Dragons 2 and it's just the same thing where the dragon's just an actual color.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Like a red dragon instead.
For sure.
They could even go more depth and call it Sword of Dungeons and Dragons 2nd Edition.
Yeah, see, that's even right. Knock out of the park.
Yeah, so we got these cards that are the acorn cards, which are referring to things that can't really be executed in Magic correctly. So Killer Cosplay, which is a green for an equipment. Whenever Killer Cosplay becomes attached to a creature, choose a creature card name with identical mana cost. So for example, if you picked if you equipped it to a Rune Call Bear, you can make that into a Tarmogoyf, which is what this card is referencing. I don't know if you noticed that. It's cosplaying as a Tarmogoyf. So the reason why that is just because it becomes like this weird game of, well, I can't look up cards and I can't have outside notes, but I want to be able to do like one of everything. So like you could equip this card to, let's say, a 1/1, and then I'm sure there's a 1/1 in its history that there's a one mana card that handles basically everything in the history of Magic, you know, like artifact, you name it, right? They don't want that weird like catalog or an ability to like either look up cards or whatever you want to call it.
All of a sudden, everyone knows what Phyrexian Dreadnought is.
Yeah, and then they made cards that are a little on the wackier side. So specifically, like Saw in Half, which is actually a really cool card. I think I love the design of it, but it's
that one's legal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's perfect, but it still has it's an odd card, but it's, you know, two and a black for an instant, destroy target creature. If that creature dies this way, its controller puts two tokens that are copies of that creature, except their base power and is half that creature's power, and their base toughness is half that creature's toughness, round up every time. So if you destroy a 1/1, you get 2/1/1.
This doesn't even seem like a uncard.
Yeah. I mean,
this isn't anything that I couldn't... This could have been in Strixhaven.
Yeah.
I feel like the flavor fits the unset, but the card reads not like an unset card.
Yeah, for sure.
It's still cool. Combo city.
Yeah, so we clearly know there's going to be a few... that's already an EDH chase card right there.
Right.
I think that's a big one. Because cutting your worm coil into two smaller worm coils while making two worms... At the same time, I think that's what people want to do, right? Obviously, there's the infinite combo potential.
I want to hit my Mole Drifter.
That too.
Oh,
yeah. This card is designed for that, so it's perfect. And if you target, if you target someone else's commander, like you would kill, let's say,
commander.
Yeah, it would just go down to it goes down to a one commander. But what I'm saying if it was had auras on it, you could get rid of the auras in that way. It's nice. This really unique corner case. Well. Yeah.
Can you, in response to it being targeted, target it with a different kill spell, and then the Saw in Half doesn't work?
Yes, it has to be destroyed.
Because it fizzles?
If that creature dies this way, it has to... It says it on the card. So if I Saw in Half targeting my creature, and you Fatal Push my creature...
There is no creature, dies, so it's good.
It has to die that way, specifically.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
The other card, it's just an uncommon, but either way, we're getting cards that are going to be legal in Eternal format, so I think the big sell is we know what Wizards is trying to do, right? They just want EDH players, EDH players, EDH players. So they've brought those EDH players in by getting them to buy this set.
I don't even know who this product is for.
It's now EDH players. You got Awesome Lands, which brings out the Whales of Magic, and then you also have your EDH players that are going to want cards from this that are a little bit wonky.
Now, if you could Acorn any card that is out, what would you Acorn?
Isn't it just like asking what would we ban?
Yes.
But like what is a card that could be acornable?
Charizard.
Yeah. I mean, if you want the real answer,
there's a couple. Shark Typhoon could be an acorn card. Ragavan could be an acorn card.
Sure. Mm. Sure. I mean, Ragavan due to power level and Shark Typhoon just because of the ridiculousness of it.
You know what I want?
Shark Typhoon is literally a meme.
Yeah.
You know what I want?
Ragavan reads like an odd card.
Goblin
game. Huh?
It's a goblin game.
Yeah, that's a card that could be an acorn card.
Yeah.
Thassa's Oracle. Get it out of here.
Another card that reads like an uncard.
Yeah.
I'll do something for all the EDH guys out there. Just get rid of Thassa's Oracle.
Oomba.
Solve the EDH format.
So we got this modern ban gauntlet. This came through, and it's actually, you can play it from now until December 8th, where they have taken cards from the modern ban list and recreated decks that when that card got banned, what the deck looked like. So for example, like Jund, when Deathrite Shaman got banned, what did Jund look like when Deathrite Shaman was out of the format, you know? Have you guys looked at these lists yet?
Yeah, I have a lot of complaints.
Okay.
I've heard about it. I know that they're not like up to date, which is kind of... So,
yeah, well, I the fact that it doesn't get up to date, because the theme is we're going to create the deck and when it got banned, so I'm okay with that. Rules make sense to me. So Affinity has Mox Opal, Lyra Pod has Birthing Pod, Dredge has Hogak, Countercat, which I literally might be the first modern winning deck ever, because I vaguely remember it being played, but Green Sun Zenith, Jund, Deathrite Shaman, Eldrazi Aggro, Eye of Ugin, Banned Stoneblade, which has Uro, Temur Aggro, which has Oko, Bloom Titan, which has Summer Bloom, which is ridiculous, Sunny Side Up, which is the second Sunrise. You got your classic Twin, and then your Blue Red Aggro that has Treasure Cruise. So I guess Affinity. Does anybody have a problem with this list?
Yes, I do. Pretty dumb too.
Okay, I have a really big problem.
Okay.
The deck that Mox Opal was really really good in was not Affinity. It was fine in Affinity, but Affinity was on its way out the door when Mox Opal got the ban. This was not the deck that made Mox Opal broken. If you want to pick a deck at... Nope, not even that. If you want to pick a deck that purely had Mox Opal only to keep it in theme with only having one banned card, even though that still isn't part of the theme, I would pick Clad Ironworks or whatever that is.
Oh, but KCI.
Yeah, KCI was...
banned. So you'd have to have KCI unbanned.
Yeah, is KCI banned?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, they already did it for the Hogak deck anyways, because they have Faithless Looting in there as well as Hogak, yeah, we'll I don't care.
So this is like the weakest of the Mox Opal decks by a mile, right?
Yes, 100%.
I mean, the problem is I think they were trying to stay thematic with having a singular ban, but we'll get to that, where the Hogak has a double ban card in it, and whatever.
This whole thing is bad to begin with.
Malirapod, it's an old deck, so it doesn't really, like, so I was watching streams today of people playing it, and this deck does not line up at all with the format. It is atrocious.
It makes me laugh so hard, because I was scrolling and I saw Voice of Resurgence, and I'm like, what is this garbage deck?
Right.
I mean, the if we were to make a new updated pod deck, it would just be the Yawgmoth deck, the black-green Yawgmoth. You would just go turn three, Drolf's Messenger, Birthing Pod that into Yawgmoth, infinite combo you.
Yep.
That's what the new combo would be. So it's even easier than Kiki Cord. And this doesn't even have, this is like a straight up, it's like a bad infinite life version of this deck either way, which is terrible to play in Magic Online, which whatever. You got Dredge, which is the biggest offender, in my opinion, out of all of them.
I am very mad about it purely because it both has Hogak and Faithless Looting, and it's missing the card that makes Hogak good, which is Bridge.
Yeah, four Bridge from below.
You can't turn on Hogak like you could when this deck was real, because Bridge doesn't make, you know, you don't have 100 tokens to use to keep casting Hogak.
So this was like a version of Hogak while that deck existed. This was like a different, this is like a Vengevine version of it, but that was way less superior to it. So I don't, their argument was when Hogak was legal, this deck top aided once. Okay. Whereas the reality is it probably top aided. And then the other seven decks were the good Hogak deck, which was probably four Hogaks and four Bridge from Below. And four, you know, so this is a like horrendous version of it. That being said, I saw it on stream today. It was smoking people like left and right, because it's still turn toing Hogaks and 8/7s with these old outdated decks, just like this, like for example the pod deck. The only way they can beat it is by like Phyrexian metamorphing it and copying it. It has
on that deck. Yeah,
it's terrible. Countercat, I don't know how this deck could ever win. Three ban charm, let me just put that there. Three
Bancharm.
What does that even do?
Destroy target artifact, put target creature on top of its owner's library, counter target instant spell.
What is this card?
It was good back when it first came out. It was fine.
So when Modern was announced, this is like the deck before Modern Horizons came, or not Modern, sorry, Modern Masters 1 came out. So this is like what people had to build, because there wasn't a lot of stuff, you know?
Elspeth.
Look at that. Three-Aven Mind Sensor.
Ooh, our bird is back.
Just so, solid Pride Mage.
Yeah, and this is also at the time. So when Modern came out,
wasn't Wild Nakatl banned from that deck too?
Yeah, that's the it was Wild Nakatl, and then what was in Green Sun?
Green Sun. Yeah.
Yeah. So when this deck came out, Modern got announced, and because of how data worked, like we just weren't able to scour the internet for data, and also Magic Online had nowhere near as a presence, so people just couldn't, and all the cards that existed all got redeemed. So like Green Sun Zeniths, or not Green Sun Zeniths, but for example, like a card like Elspeth was probably like 200 tickets, because you just couldn't get them because everybody redeemed them. Everybody redeemed everything out of that system. And there was no rental services and people didn't play. So like there's a reason, this is just showing you that this is a deck of its like of its time, kind of before a new era came of just like, this deck worked. Don't know why it worked, but it worked.
No, it was fast enough. The aggro was quick enough. Right.
Yeah, that too. I mean, people were like complaining that Green Sun's anything into Wild Nakatl was a problem. And it's like, not really, but okay. This deck even played Dry. It has one Dryad Arbor. Knight of the Reliquary Charmer. It's just big fat guys dot deck plus horrible card Bancharm. Like, this honestly.
This deck get run over nowadays.
Yeah. So, I mean, come on. This doesn't stand up to any Pioneer deck or Standard deck.
It's way too fair.
Yeah. And then we got John, your classic John, which has... Does this have...
DRS in it.
Yeah, Deathrite Shaman makes sense, but this doesn't play Bloodbraid Elf, which they both got banned at the same time, which is kind of weird.
This looks okay.
I also hate that it has Olivia in it.
Olivia was the thing back then. It really was good.
This deck doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, this deck can do fine, I'm sure. Yeah.
You guys were just telling me DRS and the Lily is fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, and like, I mean, you can strip the hand with Inquisition and Thoughtseize. And
yep. This is a fine deck. It's missing the Bloodbraid Elves, because, like I said, both Deathrite Shaman and Bloodbraid Elf both got banned at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Eldrazi Aggro, which is probably the, like, Hogak's probably the number one deck, and then this is probably number two.
Very close, I bet. This deck is done.
People forget how impactful it was to go turn one Eye of Ugin into double mimic and then turn two play
Thought not seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that happened smash your hand.
And you're like, okay, take eight. And then the following turn, you're like, Cavern of Souls. Reality Smasher, take 15. That was absolutely absurd. Yeah.
And you had Dismember to clear the way every time. Hey, check this out. Boom.
Thought Not Seer clears the way. The game's over once you cast Thought Not Seer.
I mean, this deck came out when Twin got banned, and I remember the memes of just on the Twitch chat or whatever, maybe it was Justin TV at the time, of just Twin died for this, because the entire top eight was just seven Eldrazi aggros plus one other random deck.
Like some
Eldrazi winner, right?
Yeah, it was Eldrazi winner,
The eighth deck in that when that happened.
Yes.
And it was still playing Eldrazi. It was like playing Eldrazi Displacer or something.
So, can I ask you guys a question? Did Oko and Earl get banned at the same time or no?
No.
Okay.
Earl got banned later.
Okay, so this is banned Stoneblade. This is, you know, whatever. Your Earl pile, which was great. I mean, it's an okay deck, but it's not the most optimal. This is
I probably would have preferred the version, the four-color Omnath version.
Yeah.
Earl Omnath, that was way better.
Yeah.
Because it just had the inevitability with Field of the Dead as well, but I guess that's a banned card, so they can't put two in one, even though they can.
Yeah, this card doesn't seem like it would be too bad.
It's fine.
It's okay. Earl is one of those cards you can go back and forth on. It's weird. It's not the greatest, but I don't know. It's weird.
It does a lot of work.
The problem with Earl is that it homogenizes things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so does Lurrus.
The value
right?
is just so good.
I mean, so is Lurrus. Like, you'd have to either play a Uro deck or a Lurrus deck, and the options are you play a Lurrus deck or you play a Murktide deck. Those are your two options, and maybe a Titan here and there. All right, so you got Temur Aggro, which this deck I don't remember ever being played ever.
It wasn't. This is the one that irritates me the most because
what is this deck?
It's a Pioneer.
It is supposedly the Oko deck. But I think they should have chosen for the Oko deck. They should have.
Realistically, Oko is in the deck above it that we just talked about.
It should have been.
Or even if you don't want to put it in that deck, if you want it in its own deck, you put it in the Urza deck without Opal, and I still think it would do fine.
Right.
With Astrolabe?
Yeah.
There's no Astrolabe in this deck.
Well, Astrolabe's banned, but that's fine. You could probably still get away with just.
The Holgak deck has two banned cards. Urza. They should have just given this deck Oko. Urza, Astrolabe would have been fine. No Mox Opal. You know, this is the, you're right. This is the egregious, most egregious. Four Glorybringer, get out of here with that.
Please play that card. No one's ever played that card.
This deck has never top aided. I don't believe this.
Right.
This deck
and
is
I mean, like,
beasties.
Pia and Kieran saw play for a little bit.
This has got Michael Synthlatis as
a
second
band
card. So I'm not
super mad about that, but like, Glorybringer?
Yeah, what the hell
Crusher
is it?
Giant?
This is the worst thing I've ever seen. This is the
banned Michael Synthlatis. It does have two banned cards.
Yeah,
I didn't see that in the sideboard.
Yeah, wow. The fact that this deck has to play Oko, Karn, and Michael Synthlatis, and then Bulk, Glorybringer, P, and Kieran Nalar. Get out! Like, I'm not buying it. I'm sorry.
Like this deck may have showed up
not during Oko. No
yeah,
way.
To a kitchen table.
I'm
sure Blood Moon was really good when everybody had four Astrolabes. Yeah, real spicy. Get out of here. What a trash deck. All right. Bloom Titan, which is one of the OG banned decks. Scary. Yeah, I mean, this deck, I love that the win condition, people forget sometimes they would just beat you with Hive Mind.
Explain this deck to me. I wasn't around when it was here.
Okay, so you turn one Amulet of Vigor, right?
Okay.
Then turn two, you go
Bounce
you know,
Land.
Bounce
you get
land.
Two mana.
You have one floating Summer Bloom. So wherever Summer Bloom is allows you to play three additional lands. So you play Summer Bloom off the two lands. You still have the one untapped. Then you play the same tap land three times and get six Titan. Get the combo of Slayer Stronghold plus another tap land. Well, that one gives haste and first strike. So you then get the Titan attack for the Titan for eight. On the trigger on the stack, you're going to grab the Sunholme Fortress to give it double strike, and you're just you're literally just 16ing people on turn two, and because it was a fetch, whatever.
Like Wolf Run or something, right?
Yeah.
Was there an old school version? Was there a different version that was a turn one win?
No.
I mean, this was there's no turn one win. I don't think. With Summer's Bloom, I mean, this deck, when Summer Bloom went away, it was still a deck, and it was still like...
Still is a deck.
Yeah, it still exists, but with Summer's Bloom, it just made it. You need a Titan or a Summer's Pack and a Summer's Bloom, a Vigor, and a tap land. Like specifically, like a green.
Those
one.
Four cards, and then you just
third
win.
Azusa yeah. in this list as well.
It was so fast. It was you just couldn't interact with it.
And the worst part is you didn't need Primeval. You could just have the Hive Summoner's Mind, Pact yeah. instead or whatever.
Yeah, Hive or Mind. You an Amulet Vigor.
People wanted
Hive Mind cast my thing that makes you lose the game on your upkeep.
Uh-huh.
After
that's pretty good.
After Summer Bloom got banned, people wanted to ban Ancient Stirrings from this deck too.
Yep, because it was still strong after the deck went away. People still played it.
They just were saying Ancient Stirrings is just Ponder.
Yep. All right, so this deck, I didn't see anybody playing this on stream, and I don't think anybody wants to. This deck would be a nut, like just a headache to play. This is your Sunny Side Up. This is a deck that doesn't you can't play it online.
I was about to say, it's not an online deck, which is the dumbest thing to me, is why you would put this deck in here knowing that no one will play it online because it takes too long to repeat the combo, where in real life you can say, shortcut this.
Well, you can't
shortcut
it ever.
No, you have to go, like this deck, you literally have to draw your deck one by one.
You can't, there's no shortcutting it.
Yeah.
You have to, like,
draw
your deck.
Oh, because you could draw incorrectly or whatever.
You get to the end. But you have to get through your entire deck.
You could fizzle, and there was like, let's say there's like a 2% chance you fizzle, meaning that after you've drawn, and ran out of second sunrises, let's say you have two faith rewards in your deck, and there's seven cards left in your deck, and you didn't draw them. That was the only other thing.
Okay, so you had to do it. You had to.
Yes.
Because I always thought it was like an inevitable thing.
It's very like four horsemen.
Yeah, it's once you get it going, it's almost like impossible because you're getting the mana with the Lotus Blooms. You're getting a draw card.
I'm really glad I didn't play Modern during this era.
Only two people ever played this deck because it was incredibly difficult to play. It's not an easy deck. Like Sifka is what's known for this. And on coverage, because there was a chance that your opponent could fizzle. And if they fizzle, they lost. So you had, look at it. You have one way to deal two damage, right? So you have right there, two damage right there. So you need to do 18 more. So that means you need to cast four of those, which is eight more damage, four of those, which is eight more damage, 16, and then one twin cast to copy it to make it 18 plus that.
It is, seems like a nightmare.
It was incredibly narrow, but with cards like Reshape, once it got going,
was insane. Yes.
Dude, but yeah. It was in the top eight, and I think it won the tournament. And it took like game one, and this
that's
was
why it got banned because it won the tournament.
It won the tournament, and also the coverage was we have to watch this for 45 minutes while it plays it out each game.
That's
and it was
so
best
good.
Of three. It was best
I gotta
of five.
Go look that up, dude. I gotta go look that up.
It's a nightmare. All right, we got.
I'm
classic.
Sure the coverage is somewhere, right?
It exists. It's archived somewhere. Someone's got it. Twin Exarch. You got your classic Splinter Twin list, right? Twisted Image being the main. Like
I
wish
they would. What is Twisted Image doing?
What is this?
That was existed because people used to play. So at the time, the two big decks were
Pod.
Twin and Pod. And the way you would kill Pod decks is you had a one mana answer to kill their Spellskites, kill their Noble Hierarchs, and draw a card.
Gotcha.
That was tech. I remember playing the hell out of that card.
Okay.
I loved it.
In the main?
Yeah. Because at the worst, it cycled. You would just target your own thing. They're like, oh, I'm going to hit you. Like, you'd randomly attack with your XR with a 1/4 and be like, all right, I'll attack you. I hit you for 4.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, like, interesting.
Yeah. Hit them for 4, and then they wouldn't see it coming. And then you're like, they're sitting there holding the removal for a lifetime for like your Splinter Twin combo. And you're just like, all right. You would just beat them with Snapcasters, Lightning Bolts, and Deceiver XRs and click. Like, you could just beat them that way, too. Yep. That's exactly. Cool. This deck got to cheese a lot of people out with. This was like this was my baby.
I really wish I would have been playing during that because I would have had a lot of fun playing
that
deck. Yeah,
with the Kuranos and everything.
And then the last deck is the red blue
Young
aggro.
Peasy. This deck is atrocious by today's standards.
I was about to say I'm so mad that this has Goblin Guide and Delver in it.
That was a Treasure Cruise deck. There was better Treasure Cruise. John played Treasure Cruise. They cut Bob's and played Treasure Cruise. Everybody played Treasure Cruise.
Right. Yeah.
You had 1,000 versions to play Treasure Cruise, and you chose this deck.
Also, it's got Gitaxian Probe in it. Two banned cards right there. Please, stop doing this. You won't do it for half of the other decks that require two cards.
It's so
but
funny.
You do it for these decks.
All right.
I didn't even see the Gitaxian Probe when I looked.
I think, the other deck also has Gitaxian Probe, too. Like, are they just ignoring it? Yeah, it does. The Sunny Side Up had Gitaxian Probe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I don't understand. I really don't understand who was like, we're putting this together.
Realistically,
I know how to do this.
It should have just been no ban list weekend.
Yeah. Let people go wild.
Mm-hmm. Right. Really, they should do that once. Do no ban this weekend. I bet you would get a very diverse format too.
I think it's only a weekend.
If it was a week, I bet you it would just be, well, if you did it for like a 1 week, right? I bet you it would just be Hogak and Hogak and Hogak. I think that deck would be unbeatable.
You don't think the Blazing Shoal deck would be there?
No, I think Hogak would beat it.
I think the Blazing Shoal deck, it wouldn't even play that. I won't even think it would be a deck anymore because you have Scale Up, which is pretty much exactly what
I've argued about this. It's not even close.
Really?
No, okay. One costs zero mana. The other one costs Scale Up. So let's put the Ink Moth test here. When Blazing Shoal was a thing, you had to respect turn two Dying to Ink Moth at all times, which means you couldn't play your spell. So you had to sit there and hold up removal because you could go turn one Ink Moth, so they didn't have summoning ticket. Turn two, activate Ink Moth, Blazing Shoal kill you, which costs two mana. Do that same play, but add Scale Up. You need a third mana to get to the 6/4 for the Ink Moth Nexus, and then you need another mana or free spells, which either be, you know,
ground spell.
Yeah, you know, whatever, name Phyrexian spell to do that, which cost mana, and I think people are failing to see that. It's like, you don't understand what that deck did. Because they had the possibility to kill you like that, you couldn't play. Like, if you went turn one
Ragavan
Moth, and I go turn one Ragavan, I'm going to lose. Like it's weird. Like,
what do you think of, oh man, what was that deck? Hypergenesis. Do you think that'd be able to pull through anything?
Just go ahead and play. It's the same. It's the same as Rhinos.
It's the same. Yeah. Hypergenesis could come
except
up.
Except you manless. Win the second you hit it instead
no.
of.
Can,
yeah.
No. Not, anymore. Guys. Not anymore.
No. Why? What are you going to put out?
You put Progenitus. You put out the one that copies and keeps her name. And then you play the Cyclops that gives him haste.
Yeah. So you're talking a three card combo on top of.
I understand it takes more cards. Well, but like you have a higher chance of.
Blows it all out.
Yeah. So back when Hypergenesis was a thing, there was no Force Negation, and Simeon Spear Guy was legal. So you could turn one people it.
So couldn't you say the same about Hogak with
Hogak Alter? Is a creature you can't.
But Alter.
Can't. The deck doesn't need it. It plays like Stitcher Supplier and all that. It'll self-mill or Heat Drum Grab.
Like, I feel like Alter is the real killer in that deck, though.
Sure is. That's the combo piece. But like they have Carrion Feeder to sack. They have Heat Drum Grabs to mill them 12. You know, or it's six. Like, they're going to get it one way or another. There's really no stopping it.
You know what we haven't done yet?
Go on.
We were supposed to build those two modern decks with the unbanned cards. I was supposed to be able to play Dark Depths.
Yeah, I know. I told you, you would auto-beat me. I could never win.
What other card? What
you would
what
just play Dark play? Depths and Ren and Six. I couldn't beat you.
And what were you going to play?
I was going to play Twin. I was going to lose a lot.
Oh, okay. Was that what we were doing?
Yeah.
I was okay, like, oh, good. This is a fair match. I want you to lose a lot. Let's go. Like,
yeah, exactly. Whatever. All right. I'll save it for, I guess we'll just go right into next year. Well, the next week's podcast, we'll talk a little bit about Legacy, and then we'll go right into our end of the year topics. There's a total of, you probably can't see it. Either way, real quick, the list that we have.
Top 8 cards for Modern.
Top 8 cards for Modern. RIP cards. Cards that are no longer viable. Worst design. We might go away from that one. Top 8 cards for Legacy. Top 8 cards for Commander. The Commander one, I really want to just relegate it to just standard legal sets rather than all the Commander products. Top 8 cards for Modern from Standard. I guess that's like the same thing, but whatever. Best new mechanic of the year. Top 8 commons. Cards that became good. The top 8. So cards that were like, think of like cards like Chain of Smog where it was a meme.
This is this year, correct?
Yeah. Everything refers to everything that came out in this calendar year. Top 8 sleepers. Top 8 overhyped cards. Worst and best standard set, and then top 8 reprints, the things that are like the best in value. We could do Secret Layers if you wanted to do that on there. I don't know. Josh, take us out with a hot take.
It's too early for Christmas music. It's Wednesday, my dude.
No, it's December 1st. No, 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 no.
It's still too early.
No, 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 dude. Mariah Carey all the way.
I hate it so much. Really?
It's the worst one.
Check us out on Facebook. Yeah. Check us out on Discord. We out.
Wait. What's our email?
Our email is paperplayerpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's paperplayerpodcast@gmail.com.
Send your questions emails there.
Yep.
Bam. Thanks.
I don't know.
Hour and 10.
An hour.
Hour.
I went by fast.
Well, there's like 15 minutes of us dicking around at the start.
I don't even think we were dicking around. We were actually at like, I was trying to keep on track, so I shut up. Usually I can talk a lot longer.
So I shut up.
So I shut up. Dude, the last podcast I listened to, I was like, Jesus, I gotta shut up here.
Right.
The problem is you go on and on about one thing.
I know.
And you start repeating yourself.
I see that. So just make a minute adjustment. I'll forget it next week and we'll be back to square one.
Yeah. Can't wait.